Everyone, I'd like to welcome all of you back to Ohio Exopolitics. It's 4:28 p.m. on the 4th of October. We had a really good show yesterday, but near the end it got kind of intense. And I expressed some feelings that were probably, every once in a while, Billy will say something that seems to fly in the face of what I've seen in my research and things like that. So I'm not a blind follower, so I'll speak up if there's something in the contact reports that seems inaccurate to me or wrong. So, you know, that's kind of the way it is. It's just kind of the way my personality works. And anyway, so if you go back to the prior show, I think it's going to be up on YouTube, hopefully. We'll have to see. Then you can, we have to listen to the whole show, I guess, to get to the controversial points. But I think the COVID that we're dealing with, and time will tell, I could be totally wrong, is they're using it as a form of social conditioning. And that's what the masks are really all about. It's social conditioning. It's to keep us in fear and anxiety so that we'll take the vaccine so that they can lower the world's population, because the vaccine is going to be deadly, in my opinion. They stopped the animal trials because so many animals were dying. And they've the people that have taken the vaccine, some of them have such bad shakes or chills, and their teeth chattering. They broke their teeth and all sorts of bad side effects. I don't know if anyone's died yet, but I think what we're going to see is neurological damage from it. But this, again, is based on what I've been looking at myself and studying. So we'll have to see. You know, this is, the Meyer information says wear the masks and all that. So, you know, listen to Billy. Don't listen to me. But I until I'm convinced otherwise, and I haven't been convinced yet, I still think this is part of the New World Order's plan to bring a tyranny in. And Billy introduced this concept in Kelk der Wahrheit, The Goblet of Truth, where he said the secret dark order is creating a consciousness-conditioned tyranny. And I would always bring that out in my shows a year or two back. It's probably a good thing to start bringing some of that forward. Now, after having said all that, I do have kind of a lengthy clip here I'm going to play, and then we'll get on to some important things and my thoughts. But here we go.
Now, they're not being honest about that, but that's really what this is. We could do this for flu. You could do this for herpes. You could do this for anything. You could get probably worse numbers.
That's right.
But they've already made it a fear factor with COVID, so everybody thinks, oh, it's legitimate that we change the face of the earth and civilization over this COVID.
And they, just like the masks, it's social conditioning. It allows them to have a justification to do what they want to do anyway. With the mask, your masks don't protect you, they protect other people. That's what they were telling us about the MMR vaccine a year ago when they start mandating it in the schools, and when Trump said, you just got to get the vaccine. That's all there is to it. And we've seen this game before. You're talking about how they've escalated the flu. We've seen the same game before every year, as a matter of fact, for several years now. We've seen this from the CDC, talking about how many flu cases there are and so forth. And I've had on my show Del Bigtree and others who have shown the documents where the CDC sent information out to doctors and said, look, don't send us a test. We don't have enough tests. We're overwhelmed. We can't do it. If it looks like the flu, it is the flu. Just count it. And that's where they get their numbers. That's why I didn't believe this stuff from the very beginning. And it's getting even more absurd. But they're using the massive rollout of tests. We're talking about 150 million tests to start with. Now, the Democrats, as part of their stimulus bill, are talking about $75 billion, with a B, $75 billion for testing and contact tracing. I'm assuming that's not going to be the PCR test. That's going to be the rapid test. That means at $5 a pop that they could get 15 billion tests. That's 45 tests for every man, woman, and child. That means they're going to run this thing out for a long time, and they're going to do a lot of control.
That's President Trump with COVID. Feels good. Melania says she feels good, too. He's dancing. Yeah, get that COVID, feel good. All right, we're not making light. People are very sick, but this whole thing is just pathetic. And David and I were talking in the break how the president's been playing ball with this, but he has the chance to change the rules now that he has the bully pulpit. And you know what? I got all this news with how the vaccines are causing worse side effects than COVID. Eventually, I mean, really, the vaccine is going to be more deadly than COVID. They won't tell you that. Twitter and all the rest censoring the truth about COVID, that's continuing to go on. Massive facial acne is breaking out across the nation right now. I wonder why, because of mask. And, you know, funnily enough.
Buy stock and clear a cell, yeah.
Yeah, that's it. There you go. There's Boomer, your stock advice for the day right the, there. Get, yeah, yeah, your advice for the day right there on the stock market. But here's what I'm trying to figure out, David, because I was thinking about this today, and then you brought up some of the other oddities about this test, the antigen test. But I'm seeing this, too. I'm seeing this theme is, well, the test, you know, you could have trace amounts of COVID or small amounts of COVID, and, you know, it's still a positive test. Well, in comparison to what? Because this is a virus. A virus is not alive. So what? So I'm confused because I've never heard anybody explain this to me. I'm not a doctor. So, I mean, I'm led to believe that there's this virus that's not alive that can somehow, I guess, procreate or expand. And now it's floating in the air and it can fly. And now I may have a million COVIDs. I may have one COVID. It still tests positive for COVID. If I have a million COVIDs, I'm really sick. If I have one COVID, I'm not sick at all. And none of it makes any sense. Nobody's explained any of this to us. We just look at the TV. We see the numbers go up. Oh, my gosh. They say, oh, it's deadly. Oh, it's not deadly. Oh, look at all the cases. Well, you could have a little in you, but how could you even have a lot in you? So none of it makes any sense at all, David. Nobody's even using basic logic to question this.
Well, you know, John Rappaport questioned this at the very beginning. And he said, look, they've tried to use the PCR test many times for a lot of other things, and it doesn't work. The guy who invented it, who got a Nobel Prize for it, said you can't use it for this. Why? Because it doesn't do a quantitative analysis. It can flag somebody without them having a sufficient viral load to be sick or, most importantly, to pass it on. And so that's why the guy who invented it said you can't use it for this. Now, a lot of people are saying that now, and I'm surprised that it's not being reported more widely. I mean, John was the only one saying that 6 months ago, but now a lot of people are aware of that and talking about it. But this test, the antigen test, the Abbott Lab rapid test, is even worse because it doesn't even look for a DNA fragment at any level. Instead, what it looks for, the antigens it's looking for, are proteins that are associated with the virus. It's not even looking for the virus. It's looking for proteins associated with it. Now, the problem that we have, besides the quantitative, the lack of any quantitative information, which would tell you that, you know, President Trump is not sick, but he's tested positive, right? He doesn't have a viral load. But beyond that, it's the qualitative issue as well, because it's not able to distinguish one coronavirus from another. And there's a gazillion coronaviruses out there, all the cold and flu variants that we have out there, because, you know, your body's constantly replicating this RNA and you get copying errors. So you're getting a lot of different strains of this, and it can't distinguish one from the other. So it's qualitatively BS. It's quantitatively BS, but it's fast. And we're going to use it as a passport to everything. And that's what's really troubling about this. A good example is this Monday story again from the Washington Post. And they're going into this in detail because this is an opportunity for them to attack President Trump because he jumped in on this. And he deserves to be attacked for jumping into this because it's bad. It's bullshit. It's BS, okay? And they talk about a particular example in Manchester, Vermont. They did a test at patients in one study. They had 65 patients that tested positive. There were actually on second and longer tests, they found that only four of them had it. So we're talking about 93% false positive. This is why everybody's talking about, wait, you got a lot of problems with false. If you've got something where 93% of the people get a false positive, it's back up to the PCR level or worse. But they're going to be rolling this out for everybody. And this is part of the programming aspect in terms of talking about how this could be a good thing. If President Trump shows that he is in charge, and he's going to have to do that, or they're going to use the 25th Amendment or something to replace him. But if he does that, if he gets well like Louis Gohmert did, and we've been down this whole road before. Remember the panic with CPAC before this
started? Spread,
you guys were
the
there
spread.
At CPAC, right? Yeah. Everybody that was at CPAC was going to die. You had a couple of people who tested positive. I don't think that anybody even got sick. I mean, a lot of people quarantined, but I don't think anybody got sick. And then you had Rand Paul, who got sick, but he was treated. You had Bolsonaro. The left was applauding the fact that Bolsonaro was sick, but he recovered. You had Boris Johnson in the UK. He got sick. He actually went to the hospital. He was very sick with that. Probably didn't have any HCQ. But he recovered as well. You got a 99.9% chance to recover. And so the good news about this is that everybody watches President Trump. And if he uses HCQ, if he uses hydroxychloroquine, azithromycin, zinc, and like Louis Gohmert, he said, I used all three of those. Plus, we did the asthma inhaler, the over-the-counter asthma inhaler, which is a steroid. And he said, I feel better than I ever felt. Nobody paid any attention to that. Remember, everybody celebrating when Louis Gohmert was diagnosed as positive. And yet they completely ignored it when he recovered.
Yeah, and I think that what the president needs to do is he needs to prove, hey, there's nothing to be afraid of here.
That's right.
I tested positive. Maybe I have it. Maybe I don't. I'll test again every day, whatever. But I'm okay. I'm not dying.
The fear has to be stopped.
Yeah, I'm not dying. You know what? If you want to get a vaccine, fine. It's just like the flu, but you don't need to get a vaccine. Most people are going to survive this, and he can change the rules of the whole COVID thing overnight with this test. And if he wants to, we'll see what happens. And obviously, there's going to be people trying to steer him in each direction. But you know, I can't help but get my mind out of the gutter on this one, David. Nobody's ever really explained any of this to me. And so I'm sitting here like a layman seeing this whole COVID thing change the world and society as I know it, but none of it makes any sense. Okay, so you have a virus, which is not alive. It can't procreate. It can't remake itself. I mean, I've never heard of a virus like that. But yet, okay, how does it go? Like, how does it get everywhere? How does your viral load change? How is one person sicker than the... It doesn't make any sense. We've been lied to at the very outset of this.
A virus is something that attaches itself to your cells. Your cells bring it in and they replicate it, reproduce it, because, you know, the RNA DNA code is just like a computer code. So it's got a code, so it's reproduces, and they destroy themselves. And so it becomes very destructive, but your body actually manufactures that. That's why it's so concerning when you look at this mRNA approach, because what they're doing is giving you an RNA sequence to get your body to replicate something that is an antigen. And there is a correlation between several different types of cancer and viruses. Why? Because when you start modifying and tricking human cells into replicating something that is foreign or should not be in that place, you know, you get a particular kidney cancer or something, your body starts replicating kidney cells in various places, and it turns out to be fatal. That's basically how cancer works. And so you have certain cancers that are known to come from certain viruses. This is why it is so dangerous to be doing this type of approach, and they've never done it. You mentioned the severe side effects. One of the persons said, I had chills so bad that I cracked a tooth chattering. I mean,
that's probably a good place to stop. I'm sorry that was such a long clip, but I just think it's so informative. What's going on in this crazy world that we live in? How do we stop the vicious cycle, the negative thoughts? You have negative thoughts. You're listening to all this COVID stuff. You become controlled by the negative thoughts. And then your consciousness becomes burdened, negatively burdened. And more negative thoughts are created, and the might of those negative thoughts prevail. And then the psyche is influenced in a negative, damaging way. Remember, the psyche is that blocker factor that controls or administrates the material consciousness. And then the psyche can create negative feelings. And the negative feelings then also, again, influence the thoughts. They go both ways. Usually the feelings come out of the thoughts, though. These steps, they occur over and over again. And more negative thoughts, more damage to the psyche. You can kind of feel it, too. You can feel how your own negative thoughts are damaging your psyche. The might of the negative thoughts then start to prevail. So what does it mean to prevail when these negative thoughts prevail? It means they start to gain ascendancy. They become more widespread. So a good place to nip this in the bud is with the wish dream. You know, you think about playing with your cat, you think about playing music, or you think about walking in the woods, you're thinking about, you can even think about something kind of mundane like raking the yard or sweeping out your garage, anything. It's just, the wish dream is a good way to calm down the psyche and restore yourself to a normal state of mind. That's the real challenge here is how do we get restored to a normal state of mind? That's the goal here. So a vicious cycle comes into being if you let the negative thoughts continue. And sometimes it's hard to stop them. But if they continue, they will have more increasing negative effects. And the might of the negative thoughts becomes stronger. And then if you're not careful, you can be caught in an endless cycle. You can become manic as a result of these negative rotating thoughts. For example, you're thinking about COVID and you can't stop and you don't know what to believe and who's right and who's wrong. And do I wear a mask? Do I not wear a mask? It goes on and on. And you can become psychically disturbed and you because the only thing you can see is black. The only thing you can see is this little narrow thing. The only thing you want to think about is COVID-19. It's coming to get me. Anyway, the world of thoughts, it falls prey to a limitation. In other words, you've limited, you've narrowed your thoughts, your framework to a very limited area. You know, sometimes I do this sometimes at work. I would get stuck on some issue that was pissing me off and I just wouldn't let it go. I start to rotate the negative thoughts. I'm very fortunate right now that I'm working for a very intelligent company that has a lot of good policies, but I've worked for companies where some of the policies were just terrible. And it's very easy to rotate those negative thoughts and to force the thoughts into a cycle where the same thoughts appear again and again, or the same theme of thoughts, where a rotation of the thoughts just goes and goes and goes. And such a rotation of the thoughts, when it has begun, you'll feel controlled by it, and you feel like you can't even free yourself. It's the strangest thing, and you have to broaden your perception again. So do the wish dream. You know, you can speak to your consciousness. I always like to speak back Billy's writings because the power of his words in those writings are incredible. Like, love is the highest principle in all creation, and through it everything exists in absolute logic. That's one of the ones. And it's very good to repeat those a lot. And that you can kind of nurture your thoughts that way, strengthen your thoughts. So don't let yourself get too impaired by negative or wrong thoughts. Now, that doesn't mean that negative thoughts are always to be avoided, because there are some negative thoughts that can kind of be evolutive for you. Like, and they can save your life. Like, you know, you're driving your car, you get a little negative feeling and you negative thought and you decide, hey, I better slow way down. And then all of a sudden a deer runs right out in front of you or another car pulls out. So we want to be neutral, positive, equalized, balanced. Whoever has negative thoughts will soon allow himself to be controlled by them. Page 26 of The Might of Thoughts. Becoming the master of your thoughts. That's the key. That's what we want to do. Consequently, the human being is shaken and knocked around by the circumstances of life as long as he or she believes himself to be a helpless created creation of external conditions and influences. Now, here's an interesting notion. We have a universal creational power. And we also have this independent power, which manifests in the might of our thoughts. Independent means free from outside control, not depending on someone else's authority. So we have two powers within us. One is this universal creational power. The second is an independent power, which manifests in the power of our thoughts. Notice there are effects associated from the might of the thoughts. Might of Thoughts, page 28. But here, if he or she recognizes the truth that he himself or he, she herself is the master of his learning as well as the master of the might of his thoughts and all the effects which arise from them. So we're not only the master, we can be the master of our thoughts, but we can be the master of all the effects which arise out of those thoughts. So there's other effects, and if they're good thoughts, you'll notice, man, you feel better, you concentrate better, then you're cheerful. You can do all that. You can control whether you're cheerful or happy by steering your thoughts. Might of Thoughts, page 28. He or she also recognizes that the environment and the circumstances of life do not form him or her. That's something that is hard to wrap your mind around. Sometimes we feel like the circumstances are just bowling us over. But not the case. Through the power of our and the might of our thoughts, we can change the circumstances in our life. Page 28 again. Once as a result of this, the human being understand how to guide his thoughts. So that's the key. We're guiding our thoughts in a healthy way, in a healthy wise. He or she becomes not only the actual master of his or her thoughts, but becomes the lord and master of himself or herself and his entire life. And that's what we're working here, to become the guide, our own guide. To be a guide means to assist, to travel through, to reach a destination. So we're kind of learning to be our own guide here. And there's several German words that I think, I don't know if I should try to pronounce these. Führer is one, means guide. Leitfaden, Wegweiser. Probably a terrible pronunciation. So anyway, becoming the master of your thoughts, how do we do that? We have to recognize that the environment and the circumstances do not form us. We form the environment and the circumstances through the might of our thoughts. We're not being knocked around by circumstances. We are not a helpless creature created by creation. We are the master of our learning. We are the master of the might of our thoughts. I know that effects arise from the might of my thoughts. I realize that an independent creational power arises from my consciousness and manifests in the form of the might of my thoughts. So I control the kind of thinking that I do. I understand how to guide my thoughts in a right and healthy way. I am the master of the might of my thoughts. I am the Lord and master of my life. And that would be something that would be hard for a person heavily involved in religion to accept. I know that all the circumstances of life grow out of the thoughts and become mightfully real. This is the amazing thing. All of the circumstances of your life grow out of the might of the thoughts and become mightfully real. I recognize that changes in the life are directly proportional to the might of the thoughts. It's a cause and effect thing. The more might to your thoughts, the more change occurs, the more of effect. So the amount of change is directly proportional to the might of the thoughts. So we want to order our thoughts in a neutral, positive way. We also want to address any existing defects in our thoughts. And we all have defects in our thoughts, particularly if you feel your emotions start to kick up or your feelings are kind of running almost too hot. Then you can realize you're at a neutral, positive balance. So we want to eliminate those defects in the thoughts. So again, page 28, the same page, if you have the book, that is a phenomenal page. There's a lot there. Page 28. To always produce effects in direct proportion to them, the thoughts and their might. The changes to the circumstances of life and so forth are in direct proportion to the respectively altered conditions of the thoughts. So the more powerful our thoughts are, the more dramatic are the changes to our life. It can be good or bad. If you have negative thoughts, you'll have terrible, bad changes in the circumstances of your life. If your thoughts have a lack of power and might, they will make very small changes to your life circumstance. And a circumstance is a condition, a state of affairs, your state of being, your state of health, your social position, all of these. So we want to identify those neutral positive thoughts and then start to clarify and strengthen those. I might have thought it's page 28. He or she actually becomes the Lord and the master of himself or herself and his or her entire life. Every human being who practices self-control, takes up self-examination, and lets the appropriate self-control grow. And then you'll learn that fact. My thoughts, page 30. Every thought which is formed in the consciousness or which enters it and establishes itself there develops into the tremendous might which is able to control everything. So if you allow that thought, and check it out, make sure it's a neutral positive thought, make and then keep repeating that thought. I am the master of my own destiny. I'm the forger of my own fortune. I'm the creator of my own good luck. I do not allow my thoughts to drift on the ocean of life. And then that thought establishes itself in your consciousness. Eventually, it'll develop into a tremendous might. And be careful about this vicious cycle that sneaks in every once in a while. So in any case, we have been talking about the might of thoughts. We had a long clip at the beginning. Lots of controversy in the world today. Hang in there. I hope this show's still helpful to you. We'll talk to you later. You've been listening to Ohio Exopolitics. I'm your host, Mark Snyder. Have a great day.